Changes at the U.S. Post Office ahead of the election are under scrutiny in a Senate hearing today, and Joe Biden is now officially the Democratic Party's presidential nominee.
In his acceptance speech last night, Biden framed the election as a choice between light and darkness, and he described what kind of president he would be.
But while I'll be a Democratic candidate, I will be an American president. I'll work hard for those who didn't support me, as hard for them as I did for those who did vote for me. That's the job of a president, to represent all of us, not just our base or our party. This is not a partisan moment. This must be an American moment.
Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us. Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC, and Juana Summers, political reporter at NPR. Welcome to both of you. And without mentioning President Trump's name, Biden said character is on the ballot, compassion is on the ballot, decency, science, democracy. Juana, did Biden do what he needed to do last night?
I think Joe Biden did exactly what he intended to do. You heard him in the clip that you just played talk about how he is the Democratic nominee, but he will be an American president. He showed that he was empathetic. He extended an olive branch to Republicans who may not typically look to a Democrat to support and said that there's space for you here. And most of all, Democrats had 4 days of programming that largely went off without a hitch. They were able to present a seamless picture of who their nominee is and the picture they want to present to the nation. So in that respect, I think that the convention overall and Biden's speech itself were successful.
Beth, there were some real standout moments. There was the teenager who described how Biden helped him overcome his stutter. Also a 95-year-old Republican, Edward Good, who parachuted into Germany in World War II, who said he will not vote for Trump again. Listen.
I think Trump has been the worst president we've ever had, so I'll be glad to see him go. I think Joe Biden will be a great leader for the United States. Like me, on the day of my jump into Germany, I think Joe Biden cares about doing his proper duty for the United States.
We also heard from other Republicans at this convention, which left a lot of progressives unhappy. Beth, what about that, about the sort of the lineup that we saw all week?
Well, to Juana's point, the lineup and the entire 4-day convention was really an expression of unity, talking about how Democrats are standing together as one behind Joe Biden and that Joe Biden will be the president of all Americans and not just half the country, which obviously is an implicit rebuke to President Trump, who often governs as though he's the president of red America rather than blue America and does so fairly openly. So the convention was extremely effective in that regard. Now, whether progressive happy and presented himself as someone who's a friend to Republicans and to those who he may not agree with or who may not agree with him. That's the decision that the campaign made very, very strategically, that the way that Joe Biden wins this is to convince a lot of voters who might be a little bit skeptical of him or skeptical of the Democratic Party that it's time to sort of put behind the rancor and often the chaos of the Trump administration and come together to solve this coronavirus crisis and the economic collapse that have come along with that.
Juana, I want to ask you about moving forward during the rest of the election campaign. Are you surprised that Joe Biden has no plans right now to campaign in battleground states? New polls in Minnesota and Pennsylvania show Biden and Trump are neck and neck.
You know, I'm not surprised. I know that we've seen the president come out and have a number of smaller events, not huge rallies like we saw during the 2016 campaign. But I think by, in some respects, not going out physically to a number of these locations, former Vice President Joe Biden and his team are making an implicit statement about the stakes at hand because of the coronavirus pandemic, which, as he talked about in his speech last night, has already claimed the lives of more than 170,000 Americans. You saw them come out, him and his running mate Kamala Harris come out wearing masks. So I think by not physically going to these places, they're making an important statement about safety, one that I think a lot of voters, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, this is an issue that's top of mind for many people who are concerned about that right now and concerned about staying safe.
Beth, you also touched on this a little bit, but there's polling that shows Biden has not tapped in as aggressively as he could over the last few months with young voters, which, of course, are a major voting bloc and tend towards supporting more progressive candidates like Bernie Sanders. Do you think this convention did anything to shift this?
Well, they're certainly a major voice in politics. I would have to disagree that at this point they're a major group of voters. They have consistently underperformed as voters. I mean, if young voters were really the catalyst that we expect them to be, Bernie Sanders would probably be the nominee of this party. They famously stayed home and did not come out in the large numbers that Bernie Sanders was expecting to support
his candidacy.
Should say
potential, a potential voting block. Yes.
Yeah. Major well, and perhaps they will. Come out in the fall. It's certainly an expectation that the Biden campaign has, that he will motivate people, even those who aren't all that excited about his candidacy, that they must come out to vote against Trump. He's also underperforming with a couple of other constituencies that I know the Democrats are a little concerned about, particularly Latino voters. There's a lot of states now in play that have a number of Latino voters, like Arizona. So he's going to need to up his game there. But right now, the polling so far looks pretty strong for Biden, and President Trump's going to have that on his mind at his convention next week.
A big day today on Capitol Hill. There was a Senate hearing this morning, and Trump donor and the new head of the post office, Louis DeJoy, was asked by ranking Democrat Gary Peters of Michigan whether he talked with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin about delivery changes that have slowed down the mail ahead of the election. Listen.
I just said I'm working on a plan to improve service and gain cost efficiencies. But no grave detail other than that was about it.
Prior to implementing the changes, did you discuss these changes or their impact on the election with any Trump campaign officials?
No, sir.
Okay, so DeJoy said that there would be no changes to policies in the handling of election mail. He said that the Postal Service can handle election mail. Juana, did this allay the fears of voters or members of Congress about slowing down the mail ahead of an election?
You know, I think that remains to be seen, but you can look no further than the four nights of programming that we just witnessed from Democrats to show just how urgent of an issue this is for them. I think back specifically to the comments we heard on the first night from former First Lady Michelle Obama, who straight to camera talked to voters and told them, you know, pack a lunch, put on your comfortable shoes, go out there, wear that mask. You might need to stand in line for a while to be able to vote. And every single night of the convention, we heard Democrats urging their voters to show up, to request those ballots early, to be prepared to show up in person if need be. So it's clear that there is a sense of urgency and alarm around the party that the U.S. Postal Service may not have the resources it needs to actually process all of these ballots in a way that makes people feel like they have confidence in this election and that everybody has equitable access to the vote.
It was a tough week for President Trump, Beth. His former advisor, Steve Bannon, was arrested for fraud involving fundraising for a private section of the border wall. The Senate Intelligence Committee found that Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, was in almost daily contact with a Russian agent sharing information with him in 2016. A federal judge ruled that Trump has to release his tax records. What do you think is the impact of all of these things? Or are voters tuning all of this out at this point?
You know, it seems that every week that goes by, we say President Trump had a rough week. And I would agree with you, Jeremy, this week was particularly rough. But, you know, he's got this incredible resilience, which is what I think his supporters really like about him. He just doesn't pack down. He doesn't stumble. He just keeps barreling forward. He's going into this convention next week where he will receive incredible adulation from the Republicans involved and the Republican delegates. He is going to make the case that he is the only one to out there to pull this country out of the pandemic and out of the economic collapse that we're seeing. He has no intention of ever saying that things should have been done a little bit differently. He's projects this incredible confidence and this incredible determination, and that's, of course, what his supporters love about him. The question is whether or not they are enough to carry him across the finish line in November and reelect him.
Yeah, Juana, as you look towards the Republican National Convention, what will you be looking at? What kind of vision will the Republicans lay out from your view? What are some of the standouts?
Sure. So I think a lot of the pieces of the Republican convention are still coming together. So we don't quite know yet what this will exactly look like. But I expect you will hear President Trump showcase and his allies showcase the achievements they feel the president has had in his first term, and in a way that we somewhat saw with the Democrats, putting center stage everyday people who are affected by policy victories within a Republican administration. I think we're going to see something that looks completely different from what we saw from Democrats. And I'm looking forward to see what this format actually looks like in the middle of a pandemic where a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people socially distancing and things like that. And it looks like we might actually see some in-person gatherings among Republicans next week.
That will definitely be interesting to see what in-person gatherings will look like in the midst of this pandemic. With a little bit of time that I have with you guys, Beth, I mean, you laid out some of the things that you think Trump will be center stage, but what are some voices that you think we might hear from as well as we learn more about what's going to happen next week?
Yeah, well, we're going to hear from some lawmakers, of course, and we are going to hear from those regular people who will talk about how they've been affected by Trump's policies. But we're also going to see the culture war at hand. We're going to see the McCluskeys, that couple who pointed their guns at a Black Lives Matter protest in St. Louis. So Trump's not backing down from that.
Beth Fooey is senior politics editor at NBC and Juana Summers, political reporter at NPR. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.